Please to the Gospel of Luke and the chapter 15. It's a great joy to belong tonight to be able to give a word of testimony of how the Lord saved a sinner like me. We're going to read a few verses of God's word and then we'll give our testimony. We're not out tonight to glorify sin in any way, but I hope tonight that you will see that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to save you from your sin. So we're going to turn to Luke 15 and the verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the publicans and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Amen. We pray that God will bless the reading of His Word to all of our hearts. Let's unite our hearts together and ask for God's blessing tonight. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight we can gather together in this fashion. We thank you tonight, O Lord, that we're able to stand here tonight and give our testimony to the saving grace of our God. We pray tonight that Thou would bless Thy word even to the hearts of any tonight who's in without Christ. That, O Lord, tonight they'll not hear the preacher's voice, but they'll hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord, we pray tonight that Christ would be glorified, exalted in all that we do and say, as we tell of that wonderful day that the Lord in mercy saved us. Be with us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as I did say, I'm glad tonight to be able to give a testimony of how I met the Lord. And I think it's good to turn the clock back. And you cannot turn the clock back any further than back onto your mother's knee. And I was born in Glen Ann, and from a family of 10. There were 10 in our family, and it was not a Christian home. Now, it was not a Christian home, but Mum made sure that we would go to Sunday school. And we belonged to the Church of Ireland, and Mum says to me, I'm sure to all the rest of them, you have to go to Sunday school, and when you get confirmed, then you can do whatever you like. I couldn't wait till that day came that I would be confirmed. And though it was not a Christian home, there used to be a tea towel framed hanging up on the wall of our home, and on it was the hymn that we sang tonight, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And I remember as a young lad, even when I was older, just go and stand and look and look at those words. When we have been there 10,000 years. And I was really struck by these things about eternity. But of course, as a young lad, I just put it all to the one side. I can say tonight, in going to that Church of Ireland, I can never remember hearing the gospel. I can never remember a Sunday school teacher or a minister telling me that I had to be saved. Not once did I hear the gospel at that church. I was sent out to a children's meeting in a place called Corky's Corner in Glen Ann, if you know Glen Ann. The CEF used to hold children's meeting. And we were bad wee boys in those days. We used to go to a children's meeting with a bag of soup mixture. And it was not to make soup. We found out it was good ammunition for a pea shooter. And the poor teacher, we had her tormented in that meeting. Of course, I was put out. I'm ashamed to say today, even at that children's meeting, I was shown the door a couple of occasions. You know, even at that time when I used to go to that children's meeting, and you know, it carried on. You know, I used to walk home at night and I was so convicted of my sin. I used to close my eyes and keep walking. And I used to ask God that He would forgive me for being a bad boy. But next week came, I was back at it just the same. I was in sin. Now, I made a promise to my mum as a young lad. I said, "Mum, you know, I will never drink. I will never drink. I never want to go to the pubs. I never want to touch a bottle. Never want to follow a life of booze." And I remember making that promise to my mum at an early age that I would never drink. There were things I liked in life, in my young life. One was, I was football mad. I ate, drank and slept football. Manchester United was my team. And I used to dream that one day I would be a footballer. And I used to think every time I went onto the pitch and I was playing football that there's a scout hiding behind the hedge and he's watching me. I don't know why I was never spotted. I don't know. I'm sure the man got the sack after that he failed to recognise me. I don't know. But anyway, the devil has different ways of taking a person to hell. And I was blinded by the idolatry of football. My walls in my bedroom was covered with flags and pictures and badges. Later on, my car was covered, a jacket's covered in badges. Everything had to do with Manchester United. Now, the day came that I had to get confirmed. I couldn't wait till that day arrived. We went up to the front of the church, and the minister or the bishop, he laid his hands upon me and the rest of us, and that was me finished. I think I went back to church once after that. Now, I was a big boy, probably just about 14. So it was goodbye church, goodbye Sunday school, and it was goodbye God. At that early age, that was me finished. I was waiting now till the great day arrives that I would leave school. It seemed to be a million miles away. I had about 2 long years to wait till I left school. But I was glad when I left school. I thought I had arrived, like maybe many young people here in the service tonight. You feel, well, I'm a big person now, even at the age of 16. And I felt at the age of 16, I had arrived. I got a job. And I started going to the pub. Now, I didn't mean to drink a big lot when I first went. I went one night a week. The man who took me to the pub is in this congregation tonight. One night a week. And I used to drink 1 pint of shandy. Is anybody sure you should drink in their life? Lemonade and beer. 1 pint. One night a week. And then before long, it was 2 pints. Then it was 3 pints. Then it was 4 pints. Then I thought, then I'll take a lemonade out of it. And then I got on to the vodka. I remember being so drunk one night in my hometown at 17. I remember laying in the snow in Market Hill Street. And here was a fella who said, "You know, when I grow up, Mom, I'm never going to drink." And there I was, even at an early age in the pubs, and finding out the danger of alcohol at an early age. The devil will take you farther than you want to go. And it's good to see young people out tonight in this meeting. And maybe you're dabbling with booze tonight. And maybe the devil says to you, get into a disco. Go to the bar. Just take one little drink. Well, I want to say to you tonight, you're a fool. You are a fool if you go the way of the devil. But that's the way I went. Like a lost sheep being turned about in this passage, I was lost and far away from God. One drink, one night a week, turned out to about 4 to 5 nights a week. I could have been found in the pub. Monday night, a few drinks, a few pints, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday, and was ashamed to say on Sundays. Here's a fellow said, "Mom, you know, when I grow up, I'll never drink." And now I was drinking up to 4 to 5 nights a week. I thank God for His grace in my life. I walked out of 2 cars, smashed, rid off because of drink. I was a passenger in one, and then the other one I was driving myself. Nearly lost, or nearly down into hell. My life then consisted of drink and dances and bands and football and sin. I used to go to pubs and clubs and everything. I remember one night going to this particular dance in Markytella. I remember meeting this girl that I knew, and she started to talk to me, and she said these words that really hit my heart. She says, "Noel, every time I see you now, you're always drunk." And so I joked it off, laughed. "Every time I see you, you're always drunk." And I realized that she was right. But I never had thought about this. That now that booze had taken a control in my life to an extent, many nights we were out, me and my mate, we always returned again drunk. And even though I was running about in my life like a lost sheep here that was lost, I was playing in a pipe band, I was drinking, there was dances, there was discos, and many other things in my life. I used to stop in my life and I used to say this: there's something missing in my life. I do not know what it is. But there's something missing in my life. I don't know. But there's something not right. I didn't know at that time that I was lost. I was lost. The Lord Jesus here opened up the Word of God to publicans and sinners, and they all gather around the feet of Christ to hear Him, and He wants to teach them a very, very simple and a straightforward lesson, and it was this: that they were lost because of sin. They were far away from the Good Shepherd. They were lost and in danger of hell, and that's the way I was. But I didn't know it at that time. Maybe there's some tonight in this meeting. You may be saying, "Noel, well, I haven't gone down into sin the way you have." But dear friends, without Christ, you're lost. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone, listen, to his own way. This was my way. I want the way of booze. I want the way of sport and football. I want the way of deep sin. But I was still lost. And tonight, to young people or older people without Christ, you have went your way. You're lost. Remember that. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ with this great parable. There are actually 3 parables in this chapter, and He's getting through, and He wants to preach to these people, and He wants to show them that they're lost. And I once was lost. I can say that. When I used to go to discos and dances and so on, and maybe laughed and carried on and joked and everything, but deep in my heart, I wasn't happy. I was not happy. And I said to Annie tonight in this meeting, who is not saved, I asked you this question: are you happy? Can you say the world is making you happy? Can you say tonight that sin is making you happy? If you're really honest, you have to say no. Because you're lost. And there I was, wandering through life, in the pubs and clubs, playing football for teams, and far away from God. But you know something? The great message of the gospel is: the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And the Lord Jesus Christ came looking for me. There were things in my life that spoke to me. One thing that spoke to me as a young lad, when I was about 14 or 15, I'm sure there are some people here can remember the Bay City Rollers. People can remember that. Used to wear trousers up to the knees, and tartan scarves, and tartan shorts, and so on. Well, I remember going to a disco as a young lad to Market Hill, and there were all three hard men were walking up the street to this disco, and I saw this fella standing outside it. But he was no Bay City Roller fan. He was dressed with a short and tie, and he was standing outside, a young lad, and he was giving out gospel tracts and invitations to the coffee bar in Market Hill. We all gathered round this fella, and of course we teased him. We said, come on into the disco for a bit of crack, and so on. But you know, that night, the Lord spoke to my heart. I didn't know that, but I know it now. And I thought, what a brave fella. Standing there at the side of the road by himself. And he's standing with the gospel. And he's reaching out to people the message of salvation. And there was all of us laughing at him. And he stood himself. And I thought, boy, he's a tougher boy than the whole lot of us put together. And all my life, I never forgot about the boy who stood at the side of the road. I had an impact in my heart. I didn't give it much thought, but I always remembered the boy standing at the side of the road. Simple thing. Well, I was rolling about drinking. 4 to 5 nights a week I've been found in the pub. As we read here in this passage about the shepherd going out to look for the sheep, the Lord Jesus came looking for me, and he came to the village of Glenan. That's where I lived. There was a gospel mission held in 1983 in the CWU Hall in Glenan. And you wouldn't believe who was doing the mission. The Free Peas. Well, boys, I didn't like the Free Peas. I didn't like them. I didn't like Dr. Paisley. I would have through a wall for a shortcut if you'd have mentioned to me the Free Peas. Anyway, my sister, who went to the Free Presbyterian Church, though she wasn't saved at that time, she asked me to go to the mission. Now, I used to visit my sister some nights, and we used to always talk about some things, and before we left, I used to always be arguing about Dr. Paisley. And I used to visit, I said, you know, Maureen, I said, listen, I'm in tonight, let's not argue about Dr. Paisley. But before the night got out, the whole riot was going full wild. And I used to give her my knowledge of the Bible and how he was wrong. And I knew it all. And of course, that's the way the devil has people blinded. And I was blinded at that time. Anyway, the mission came. And I was asked to that mission. And I must have been in good form. For I said, well, you know, maybe I'll get into it some night. But I had other plans. I was running about wild in those days. And you know, God had to break all my earthly plans and brought me into that mission. Right in that mission that night, Reverend Alec Chambers was one of the preachers, and Mr. Joe Payton was there as well. And Brother Joe was telling me, I preached at Tandagee last week, he can remember that night when I came into the mission. He says, somebody came running down into the bottom room and they said, you'll never believe it, there's a big wild fella in sitting down the back of the hall tonight. I don't know who he was, but there's one in. And that was me. You know, God brought me in. And I sat down that meeting that night. And you know, I looked around me. And I saw people that were happy. Boy, they were singing. And then this man got up, Joe Payton. I didn't know him. I didn't see him in my life. To give a testimony. He also sang, and my heart was greatly touched. And then Joe told his testimony, how he was saved. And I thought he was speaking to me. But God was speaking to me. Joe told about how he loved football. That was me. Joe told about how he drank and he racked about. That's what I was doing. Joel told how he had stood at his father's deathbed and he had watched his father die. And just previous to that, a few years before that, I had stood in my father's deathbed and I had watched my father die. And then Joel told how the Lord saved them. And that night, that was 1983, I saw I needed Jesus. Like a light from heaven dawned on my soul, and I saw the people singing and they were so happy, and I saw that I was a sinner, and I saw that I would be cast down into hell forever and forever, and I saw that I needed to be saved. You see, God spoke to my heart, and I want to say to everyone in this place tonight, it's no mistake that you're in this meeting. Don't you think you've come, maybe someone's asked you. That may be the way God has used it. That's the way God used it with me. It's no mistake that you are in this meeting tonight to hear the gospel. God has ordered your footsteps to come into this meeting tonight and to join with his people and to listen to me give my testimony. No mistake tonight that you're here to hear the way of salvation. No mistake, you can be sure of that. God has brought you in to warn you. I was warned. I was warned in that night. I realized I am going to hell. Here's myself and my friends drinking and running about, and we're all going to hell as far as my feet, as fast as my feet could carry me. And I was really worried. I could not wait to get home from work the next night. I wanted to go to the meetings. And you know, I used to go home and I put on, I think I had a suit in those days, and I went into the meeting and I listened to the preaching. And I walked home, took it all off, put my jeans and all on, and drove the car to Marquis Till into the pub. That's what I did every night I went to the meeting. But I sat at the bar and thought about the message. I used to look into the bottom of the glass and say, there's a better life than the one I'm living. I need the Lord Jesus to save me. I need his blood to cleanse me from every sin. And I looked around the bar that with all my friends, and I realized that we're all lost and on our way to hell. And the Lord Jesus was speaking to me. And that mission then, I remember him singing in that mission, does anybody want to come to Christ? You used to sing, just as I am, without one play. Would you slip your hand up and not save you? But is there anyone who wants to come to Christ? I really wanted to put my hand up. But the devil says you're too young. There's young people here tonight in the world, I've no doubt, running after sin. The devil says you're too young. The devil's a liar. The devil's out to deceive any young person tonight that you would be lost. But I listened to that voice and I went on in my sin. I fell in with Joan in 1983. That's a story by itself. I was actually at a dance. I was drumming New Year's Eve Inn. I used to play in a pipe band. And I met Joan at a dance in 1983. I started to go with Joan, still running to pubs and clubs and discos and all the rest. But you know, I never forgot the gospel message. I actually used to go out to discos and all, unknown to Joan and my friends. I actually used to go outside and I used to stand and look up into the sky and I thought about the Lord. And I thought about my soul. And I thought, if I die tonight, that I'm lost forever. Nobody knew that part of me. Then I used to go back into a pub and laugh and joke and all the rest of it. But the Lord Jesus was looking for me. He was looking for me. I used to go to watch Northern Ireland play down in Windsor. I remember looking up into the sky and saying, if the Lord Jesus comes back, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. And what was happening, friends, when I went into clubs and pubs, I went the way of the world, there was this voice calling me to come unto Him. And what was happening, the Lord Jesus Christ was looking for me. He was looking for the sheep that was lost. Just like this passage, the shepherd went over the mountains and over the valleys, behind the hedges, over the ditches, looking for the sheep that was lost. And the Lord Jesus was looking for me. I was so worried now that I could go to hell. I was terrified that I, in a moment, could be taken from this scene of time and find myself in hell. And maybe there's some tonight, you say, Noah, this, what you're saying, it sums up my life. Maybe you said tonight, I do go to the pubs, I do go to the clubs, but I'm worried and I know I'm lost, and I know tonight that I will be cast down into hell for all eternity without Christ. Listen, the Lord's looking for you. Maybe you've wandered astray. The Lord Jesus is looking for you. And the Lord Jesus sought me. Before my conversion, it was 1984. I met a Christian called David. I drove a crane for a firm in Glenann. I didn't meet this man, never before. It was 11th of July, and I put a machine into his workshop outside Portydown. And so he gave me a pound as I was packing up the crane, and I looked out through the window and I says to him, that'll get me a pint tonight. Well, it's going to be a 12th tomorrow, so we're going to get ready for the 12th. He said, come back. And he says, did I hear you say that's going to get you a pint? I says, I did. Well, he was a Christian. Well, boys, he started to preach to me about drinking and sin and booze and heaven and hell. And I looked out through the window and I says, what do you think of Paisley? So I got the whole thing off me on the Dr. Paisley. Oh, that was a good move. I would talk to my Paisley and up the road I went. You know what night I stood in the bar in Mount Norris with a pound, and I laughed. I said, boys, I earned that pound today, you know. But really inside, I knew the man was right. I knew the man was right. But I mocked him. And he said to me as I left at that time, he says, you know, Noel, you have to come back and put another machine in for me later on in the year. He says, I hope that you're saved. Sure enough, I went back by September, October, the top mine, but late autumn, early winter time, put another one in for him, packed the crane up. He reached up another pound, and I didn't say anything. But I didn't have to, for he started preaching me about Jesus. And I got out of the crane and I stood beside him and I looked down the drive and this car came up and it was his minister. And he got out and there was me sandwiched between these two fellas. And they gave me the gospel. And they told me what I already knew. And they told me of the love of Christ. And I says, David, I know I have to be saved. I know I have to be saved. He said, Noel, there's something stopping you. I said, well, there is. And it was Joan. Not that I'm blaming Joan on it, that's the devil. We were thinking of getting engaged. And the devil says, you can save, boy. And you'll lose her. And that man looked at me as I was leaving him. And he says to me, Noel, he says, I'm going to ask you the most important question in your life. And I looked at him and I says, well, what is it? It's in the Bible. And I asked everyone tonight the same question. What shall I then do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Noel, he says, what shall I then do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And you know something? If he had hit me with a sledgehammer, it wouldn't have hurt me as much. Those words went right through my heart. Says, I, you're right. He says, no, the way you answer that question will depend whether you go to heaven or whether you go to hell. What shall I do then with Jesus? which is called Christ. And I want to say tonight, I ask everyone tonight, look, what are you going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? To all the young people and older people tonight in this meeting, without, what are you going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Are you going to accept them as your Savior, or are you going to reject them? That's really it. So I left that man, he says, you know, Noel, I'll pray for you. I left that man with those words ringing in my mind. What shall I then do with Jesus, which is called Christ? I could hardly eat nor sleep. I went up to see Joan. I could hardly talk to her. She really thought something was wrong now. I did mention briefly to Joan, without going into a big conversation about it between us, I'd maybe thinking of getting saved. She said, oh, I'll be all right. But that was, I just passing. It was hardly a good conversation about the matter at all. But what was I going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Me and Joan got engaged at Christmas, 1984. The Lord was really working in my heart. I was under real conviction. I said, I hid it from my family. None of my family knew what was going on in my soul, in my heart. Joan didn't know to a great extent what was going on at all. She had no idea what was going on in my heart. But you know, the old devil was holding me back. You know, he says, you'll never keep it. Well, I was drinking, maybe not as much that time as going to Joan, but I was still very much on the booze in those days as well. He says, anyway, Joan will leave you. Well, I didn't like the thought of that. And your friends will all laugh at you. I was playing football for teams at that time, and so on. And the devil did everything to keep me back. And maybe tonight, I've no doubt there are young people and other people in the meeting tonight, and the devil said to you, you couldn't keep it. Maybe it's because of a boyfriend or a girlfriend you will not come to Christ. Maybe you're afraid, what about your workmates, your schoolmates? The devil does everything. The devil wants to take you to hell. He wants to take you. He wanted to take me. Well, the night before I got saved, I was found drinking in Market Hill pub, and Joan beside me, two bar stools. I left Joan home, and when I got to Joan's house, there was a man actually holding on to her wall, a man that I knew. He was so drunk, I got him get up into the car, and I took him home, and I actually got out of the car. I remember getting out on his hands and knees to make his way to his house, up to his home, the door. The Lord was really speaking to me. If you could see, if you could help your friends, no, we're all going to hell. Anyway, I went home that night. I could hardly sleep. The next morning I got up. It was 19th of January, 1985. Another episode happened in the pub before that night was, I was sitting and drinking that night in the bar. And the boy I knew came walking down the pub. And he tapped me on the shoulder and he looked me in the eye and he says, Noel, there's nobody loves me. And you know, that hit my heart. For I knew he was wrong. I knew he was wrong. I had heard in the gospel meeting of the love of Jesus Christ, how he had died to save us and shed his blood. And he said, nobody loves me. And then I went home and found this other mate hanging over a wall, and I got him gathered up and got him home as well. The next morning, 19th of January 1985, I awoke. There had been a terrible fall of snow on that year. I remember looking out and says, Lord, I'm coming home. We sang it tonight. I've wasted many precious years, but now I'm coming home. And I remember going down the stairs, and Mum says to me, are you with the pub? I used to get up early on Saturday morning and go for the cure. I says, no. Didn't tell her where I was going. But you know, the Lord was directing me to Reverend Alec Chambers, who was the minister of Mullet Glass Church at that time. I remember driving up the road that time, and the snow were just, it was just one lane through the snow on Amar Road. And my car got stuck in his drive, and up and knocked the door. And his wife came out, and he came out. So I could show me how to be saved. 2 years after the mission, I arrived at his door. He brought me in that night and he opened up the Word of God and he showed me how I could be saved by repenting from my sin and receiving the Lord Jesus as my Savior. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I asked the Lord to save me on that day. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. And I remember him looking at me and he says, "Noel, are you saved?" "I'm saved." I knew it was. I remember walking out, I was a new person. The world was totally new. I once was blind, but now I see. I would hold to my family. Say to Mum, "You know, I've got saved." And they really thought, "Something has terrible happened to Noel here." Told my sister, Maureen, said, "You better come up quickly, because something's happened to Noel." Well, I've got saved. And she came up one night, I couldn't believe it. Met one of my friends out on the street, Big Ollie, and I said, "Alan, I've got saved." He looked at me, he says, "All the best, boy, give you a week." And away he went. Didn't want to talk to me at all. That's 20 years just passed there. That's a long week. The Lord has saved me. I had to face Joan. And I phoned her up to work and says, "We had a big night planned that night with Joan's friend and Joan's friend and her boyfriend. We used to go out and two of us, the two men, of course, we'd go wild on the booze that night. We had planned to go out that night. Say, Joan, I want to go up and tell you something." And I remember taking Joan away and I said, "Listen, Joan, I want to tell you this tonight. I've got saved." Well, you thought our world fell apart. Couldn't believe it. That I had got saved. Anyway, the Lord had all everything in plan that night. A lot of people couldn't go out. And I remember standing in Uri that night, streets in Uri, and I remember saying, "Lord, I thank you, it's all over. That old life's all over. The Lord has saved me." And all dear friends, he saved me. And I know it wasn't easy for Joan, the two of us. I said we're engaged, no doubt, thinking we're getting married and so on. She didn't make it too easy for me in those days. Maybe she doesn't make it too easy for me now, I don't know, but didn't make it too easy for me in those days. And slammed the door, I should preach, because when I could see it, I can tell you, I told everybody they had to be saved. I told them. Used to hide and see me coming. I told them from the day I got saved, I told people they had to be saved. I just want everybody saved. And to come there immediately, I wanted them all, of course. And I remember meeting the man one time, and I was really down. I thought I was going to lose Joan, the girl I loved at that time. I thought I was going to lose her. And he said to me, "Noel, are you going to go back for Joan? Are you going to go back to the pubs and the clubs?" You know, that day I said, "There's no going back." And the burden was off my heart. And you know what? Just after that, I went to a mission in Mount Norris, and Reverend Alec Chambers again was preaching. "Come now in all thy house into the ark." And that night Joan got saved. By the grace of God. Victor got saved at that mission. Pauline got saved at that mission. And all the members of her family got saved throughout that year. And the Lord worked upon her family. And upon her friend. You know what a change. You know what, really, Joan looked at me, I used to curse terribly when I was saved days. And Joan told me after, not at the time, but she used to watch and listen. She used to always say, "No, will you try to stop swearing?" I couldn't stop. And she listened after I told her I got saved. And she never heard me curse again. Any man being Christ, he's a new creature. The Lord lifted me. Like this shepherd lifted the sheep and placed the sheep on his shoulders. And he's carrying me home to glory tonight. And I want to say tonight in closing, that's only part one, how the Lord called me to be a preacher and sent me into all the world and preach the gospel in different places and so on. But the Lord can save you. The Lord can save you. Oh, I trust tonight the Lord will deal with your heart unconverted, that you will turn with all your heart to Christ. I never have regretted getting saved. Do you ever meet a Christian who regrets getting saved? Have you ever met one? Give me his name and address and we'll put him on our visitation program. I'll call and have a chat with him. Because anyone tells you they regret getting saved, they're not saved. I regret I never got saved as a young lad.
I regret that.
I regret I never got saved as a young fella in those children's meetings. But no, dear friends, I rejoice tonight that I've got Christ. The Lord Jesus is my Saviour. And I love the Lord tonight. I regret I don't love Him the way I should. I'm sure that's every heart of every child of God tonight. But the Lord is my Saviour. Is He your Saviour? If you died tonight, where would you be? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Oh, that tonight, for any who's not saved, that you will listen. The devil promises much, I can say to young people tonight, and will deliver nothing. He wants to damn you. Maybe there's older people tonight and you're not saved. You need to be saved as well as me. Oh, that you will repent tonight. Oh, that tonight you will turn with all your heart to Christ and He will lift you. And He will save you and wash you in His precious, precious blood and give you everlasting life. Amen. We're going to turn to hymn number 273 to thank our brother Noel for bringing...